as you're turning there, tonight, Sunday night, we're going to start what I have titled My Shepherd's Staff. It's a study of the book of Romans. There's a booklet that I will be passing out so that we can all follow along. We got some blanks here to fill in, even have a word find in the back to go along with the study. We're going to look at the book of Romans tonight. So I want to encourage you to be here each and every evening, and we'll give you a booklet that will cover the whole thing. You can sign your name to it, take it home with you, or give it to me. I'll take care of it until the next Sunday night, because it'll probably take about 5 weeks to go through this. So Sunday night, the book of Romans, My Savior's Staff. And I entitled it, My Savior's Staff, Staff Acrostic, Savior's Tool, Admonishing Faithful Followers. And so a staff to a shepherd is quite the tool. It rescues sheep from danger who have fallen into pits. It's also a comfort to put that little staff next to that little lamb, kind of comforts them. And it's also a discipline tool, but it's a neat little tool, a staff, a shepherd's staff. My Savior is my shepherd, not your shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's mine. And you know, you can say he's my shepherd too. Is he your shepherd? Yes. Yes, he is. So John chapter 4. I hope that you'll come tonight, be a part of that study, and maybe at the end, if you get all the worksheets filled out and completed, maybe we'll hand out certificates to those who have been here every Sunday night and completed it and finished it. Just something to encourage you to come Sunday night, 5 o'clock, Sunday night tonight, My Savior's Staff. All right, John chapter 4. This is a pretty powerful portion of scripture here today. Kevin picked a great song. Today is going to fit right along, and then Jane's song as well. His eye is on the sparrow. Just as he sees me, he understands me, he knows my hearts, my longings, my shortcomings, but yet he still loves me. Isn't that exciting? That's what I identify as a friend. You know, a friend is somebody who knows our shortcomings, but still a friend, still likes us, still sticks by us, even through the difficult times. You know, there's friends, there are enemies, and then there are frenemies. There are individuals who are the worst of friends, but the best of enemies. And they always just take those shortcomings in our lives and just love to stab us in the back. Frenemies. But my Savior, he's not a friend to me. He's a friend. He's a friend. He knows my shortcomings, and yet he loves me. And it's our responsibility to respond to his word and to believe in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here in John chapter 4, our Savior had a divine mission. He had a purpose. He had a reason for where he's heading. So John chapter 4, I'd like to begin reading at verse 3. It says this, he left Judea. That's Jesus. That's our Savior. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. You see, you wouldn't have to go through Samaria. You could go around it. Either direction, you could go around it. You didn't have to go through it. And most Jews always went around it. They wouldn't go through it. And so he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. And so the word of God shares with us here that he went to Sychar. Sychar. Now, Sychar is a very important place. Sychar is 34 miles from Jerusalem, 8 miles southeast of the city of Samaria, between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim is where they set up their temple in Samaria. The Shechem of the Old Testament, later called Nablus or Nebulus. The history of Sychar is this. God appeared to Abraham in Sychar in Genesis chapter 12. Joseph's brothers fed their flocks there. It was a city of refuge after Israel took the land. The bones of Joseph and the patriarchs are buried there. King Rehoboam destroyed by Abimelech in Sychar. It was rebuilt by Jeroboam for his dwelling place. Joshua assembled his people here before his death. And here they renewed their covenant with the Lord in Joshua chapter 24. After the death of Gideon, it became a place of idolatrous worship. Sychar, well known in Old Testament history, but Sychar is where Jesus sought to go through because there is someone he wanted to meet. The Bible shares with us here much about the Samaritans. In fact, the Word of God shares with us he must needs go through this area because he had a burden. He had a love for the Samaritans. You see, the Samaritans came from the children of Israel. In fact, the 10 northern tribes of the kingdom of Israel were conquered by the Assyrians in 722 BC. These 10 lost tribes were mixed then with other nations that worshiped other gods. They were known as agnostics, ignoramuses, and they worshiped in Mount Gerizim. These Samaritans come from several different tribes that were overtaken by these northern kingdoms, by the Assyrians, and these individuals were left behind. For some reason, the Assyrians didn't take them all. And so they were left behind, and they intermarried with all these heathen nations, and they became a nation that worshiped many different gods. Now, the Judah, the southern tribes fell to Babylon in 606 BC to 536 BC for what is known as the 70th year of the Babylonian captivity. They worshiped at Mount Zion. They didn't worship in Gerizim. They worshiped at Mount Zion. Now, priests in those days said that no one should eat bread with Samaritans. They looked down upon them. They were known as Gentile dogs, ignoramuses, didn't believe in the true and living God, and so therefore most Jews avoided them. They went around Samaria instead of through Samaria. And so that is the context of what's taken place here in John chapter 4. Because here Jesus is going to this location here in verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well. Jesus got tired. He got weary. He's 100% man, and he's 100% God. We looked at that today in Sunday school, and it was about the sixth hour. So 12 o'clock at noon. It's the hottest part of the day, the sixth hour. Jews, Israel, counted the first hour, 6 o'clock in the morning. They're right there on the equator. And so 6 o'clock, the sun comes up, and at 6 o'clock in the evening, it goes down. And boy, when it goes down, it's dark. It is pitch black. It is dark. So six in the morning, the sun comes up. So the sixth hour is 12 o'clock noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. So here we have Jesus. He's there at the well. We find out later, look at verse 8. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. They went into the city of Sychar to Burger King and to Wendy's and got themselves a Whopper and a Big Mac at McDonald's. And they were getting something to eat. And Jesus was out on the edge of town at the well talking to the Samaritan woman. Now, this Samaritan woman had quite a background. In fact, she tells us her background. She was coming out to the well, I believe, at the hottest part of the day because she was tired of being ridiculed. She was tired of being made fun of. She was tired of hearing people talk about her behind her back. And so here she is. She's coming out to this well. And point number one is the silence broken. Could you just hear the silence that must have occurred as this Samaritan woman is coming and thinking nobody's going to be there? But now there's a man there at the well. No one ever talks to a Samaritan woman. That's just forbidden. And here she's coming to that well and she's thinking, oh no, somebody's there. But maybe she took comfort in the fact, hey, this is a Jewish man. He'll never speak to me. He doesn't know who I am. I'm going to go to the well, and I'm sure it was quiet. You could cut the silence with a knife, the tension that must have been there. And the Word of God shares with us that as she came to get water, Jesus spoke. You know, I wonder, you know, as a young person, it was always fun, especially people that you know are fun to tease and easy to scare. I had a friend who had a grandma that you could come behind her and just poke her in the ribs, and anything in her hand would just go flying. I mean, she would jump. You would just go onto her ribs or something, and I mean, anything in her hand, would just surprise her and scare. I wonder if the Samaritan woman, if she was surprised, if her eyes got a little big and saying, "Wow, did you speak to me?" You know, we need to break the silence in the world today. The world doesn't believe that there is a God. We need to get their attention somehow. Get their attention to realize, hey, there is a Savior. There's hope. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be scared. We live in a world of fear. Live in a world that doesn't know what's coming next, has no idea that there's anything to do with eternity. Now, we need to get their attention to help them to realize there is hope in Christ. There is hope. Here's this Samaritan woman. Her life is in pieces. She has no hope, no joy. She doesn't know who Jesus is. She doesn't know about eternity and the future. She had no hope. And here she is coming to the well in the hottest part of the day, hoping that nobody else will be there. She's embarrassed about her past, embarrassed about her life and the things that took place in her life, with no hope, no joy, and no peace. But Jesus, there at the well, breaks the silence. She says to her, "Give me something to drink." Well, that sparks some questions, because it goes on to say here in verse 8, his disciples, yes, were out at McDonald's and Burger King, but verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me?" This just doesn't happen. Why are you talking to me? Not only am I forbidden by the prophets to speak to me, but you are forbidden by Israel. Israel says, in their lifestyle, they looked at women as being property. They looked at women as something that they own, and not a mate, not someone who comes along them. You know, I like to say that the Lord Jesus Christ created woman from man's side. He didn't create him from the head to rule over him, didn't create him from our feet to walk on, but from our side to be cherished and to be considered a helpmate. But the Word of God shares with us that there in Israel, they looked at them as property. "Why are you talking to me? And then, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria." Basically saying, "I'm a Gentile dog. Why are you talking to me? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." What an understatement. "You have no dealings with me." Then look at verse 10. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water." Water from above, water from God. You have a thirst that cannot be satisfied by the well that's before you. You have an eternal thirst, a thirst that only God can provide, a thirst that only God can quench, a place in your heart that only God can fill. And boy, she has some questions. Look at her questions here. It says, "And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" Very simple answer. Yes. Yes, he is. The silence broken. Got her attention. I have hope that only comes from God. Hope that only comes from above. "Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and the children and his cattle. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." The drink, the water from this world, does not satisfy. It only might give us happiness for a while, but oh, it brings death. It brings sorrow. It doesn't bring the peace that only God can give. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You need to be born from above, born from God. The water that I give will quench your thirst for eternity. It brings hope, brings joy, brings peace that only God can give. Jesus Christ broke the silence. He introduced her to the hope that she can have in God, that only peace from him can give us the joy that she longed for and sought. Not only do we want to look at the silence that is broken, but also the sin that's revealed. Because Jesus Christ is more than just a man. He's more than just a human born in Bethlehem of Judea. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Because look, not only does he come and break the silence, but he reveals to her sin. He has an all-seeing eye. He sees our sin. He sees our shortcomings. He sees our hurts, our pains, our anguish. Look here in verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Listen to this. Here she is looking at him and saying, hey, I want some of that water. And you can kind of get the idea what she's thinking. She's probably thinking, you know, I know my past. I know why I'm coming to this well. I'm embarrassed. I've been ridiculed. I've been made fun of. My past I'm not proud of. And you know, if you have water that I can partake of, that I'll never have to come back here again, I would be happy with that. Man, that would be wonderful. I'm tired of being ridiculed. I'm tired of being looked down upon. I'm tired of my past, and I want to be forgiven of that past. I want to overcome that past. I want to go beyond where I am right now. And, you know, if you've got water that I can partake of, that I'll never have to come back to this well, I'm all for that. That sounds pretty exciting, and all she's thinking is physical. But look at what Jesus does. He turns it around to spiritual because he reveals her sin. Look at verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Listen to her answer. The woman answering said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and him who thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. He just revealed the fact that he has an all-seeing eye. I'm watching you. Jesus knew her past, knew her life, and shared it all with her. You know, I often wonder, remember when Jesus bent over when this woman was caught in adultery? They brought her to Jesus and said, you know, we need to stone her. And remember what he said? He said, you that have no sin, cast the first stone. And he started writing on the sand. I think he was writing some of their sin that were those standing around him. He has an all-seeing eye. He's watching you. He's ever present. And he knows our sin. He knows our life. He knows our shortcomings. And he revealed that to the Samaritan woman. I've seen your past. I know who you are. I've seen you. And you know, she started thinking, how does he know me? I've never seen him before. Has he been listening to people talking? But oh, there's something Jesus said that helped her to realize, hey, this is more than just a man. The word of God says, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He's more so than that. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So he's saying those in Jerusalem, they look forward to the Savior that's coming. And here he is. He's here now. You don't need to worship in the temple soon. Soon we're going to be priests. able to pray before him in our own prayer, in our own rooms. Ye worship, listen to this, ye worship, ye know not what. Remember, they're known as ignoramuses. In fact, what's that word that I mentioned over here? It is ignoramuses or agnostics. They don't know who God is. They don't know that he even exists. Agnostics. The Jews call them ignoramuses. This is a word that's come from. And Jesus saying, ye worship, ye know not. You're agnostic. You don't even know that I exist. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus Christ was coming through the Jews and through Joseph, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. But the hour cometh and now is, I'm here now, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Trust in me, trust in the Son of God, through faith and faith alone. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Not only do we want to look at the fact the silence is broken, let's get the world's attention, but also the sin revealed. But thirdly, the Savior announced. Look at verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak to thee am he. I like those two words. Look at it. I am. I am. That refers back to the Old Testament. Remember when Moses asked the Lord, I believe it was the pre-incarnate Christ, there speaking to him in the fiery bush. He said, what should I call thee? And he said, I am. Always have been, always will be. The Alpha and the Omega and everything in between, the Son of God. I am he, the Savior who's come that you might have life. Look here. Not only do we want to look at the silence broken, the sin revealed, but the Savior announced. He shared with her the hope that she can have. I want to bring you living water. Yes, you still need to use physical water. You need it for bathing, for washing dishes, for so many other things. You're still going to need this physical water, but I have spiritual water that I can give to you that will last for eternity, last forever. I am the great I am, the Son of God, who's come to take away the sins of the world. Boy, she got excited when she realized who Jesus Christ was, because it shares with us in verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Look at the history, the background. You don't talk to a Samaritan woman. You don't even talk to women. And especially not Samaritan women. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pots. Listen to this. That's the whole reason why she came. That's the whole reason why she was there. But there was something else that she believed was even more important than that water pot. And went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? This is the Son of God. You've got to come. You've got to share. Wow, she went into the city and shared with everyone. And you know, here I am crying again. Excuse me. Got such a tender heart. Anybody else crying? Wow, this is exciting. The hope that she had in the Lord Jesus Christ, she went out there and said, hey, you got to come see this man. You got to come out to the well. The Son of God is here. You got to come. And you know, this Samaritan woman did not take off and run home and sit down in her lazy boy recliner and twiddle her thumbs. Wow, I just met the Son of God. This is exciting. Wow, boy, she didn't do that. She went out into the community and she introduced him to Christ. You know, that's what I call evangelism. And you know, we could do the same thing. How many of you have ever gone to somebody in the community, a friend, someone, maybe as you're going through the grocery store, hey, you need to come to church, Florence Baptist Church, just down the road, you need to come. The Word of God's being preached, and they love the Word of God, you need to come. Wonderful things are happening at Florence Baptist Church, and you know, we preach the Word, and you need to come, you need to be here. With some excitement, just that this Samaritan woman had excitement. This is the Son of God. He's right out here at the well. You gotta come. Boy, not only the silence broken, and we need to get the world's attention, but the sin revealed. He knows us. I'm watching you. He sees us. He sees our sin. He sees our shortcomings. He sees where we need to grow. But not only that, the Savior announced. Jesus Christ announced to the Samaritan woman, I have water from above. You need to trust in me. Believe my word. Trust in me today. But not only do we want to look at the silence broken, the sin revealed, the Savior announced, but also the Samaritan's response. This Samaritan woman, as you know, went into the city of Sychar and introduced all to Christ. Said, you've got to come. You got to see the Savior. But look at what takes place here. Come see a man, verse 29. And the verse 30 says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples, remember his disciples that went into the city of Sychar? They went to McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and got themselves a Big Mac and a Whopper and some French fries, maybe some onion rings and some of that special dip, you know, for the onion rings at Burger King. You know, it's pretty good. You should try that. And so they came on out and they came into to where Jesus was to give him something to eat. And meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Can't you just see John hollering at Peter? Peter, did you bring him a Big Mac? He already ate. But Jesus wasn't talking about physical food. He was talking about spiritual food. And listen to what the Word of God says in verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And you didn't think that was biblical, did you? Verse 24, Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. I believe that here in the earth, as Jesus was there, they were 4 months away from the physical harvest, the actual wheat. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. And I think Jesus was saying to his disciples, lift up your eyes, take your eyes off that Whopper, stop eating, look up, look at the horizon, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And I believe when the disciples looked up, that there were thousands of people from Sychar walking across the field with white garments, coming to see Jesus. And he that reapeth, And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. You went into the city, you went to Burger King, but you didn't invite anybody. You didn't even tell them I was here. You ordered a Whopper, but you didn't share with them Jesus is out at the well and I'm bringing him something to eat. You should come too. You need to go see him. But you labor not, yet bestow no labor. Men labor and ye are entered into their labor. Here's all these people. And who was the laborer? Who was the one that told them? The Samaritan woman. Many messages have been preached from this, and usually the title is The Samaritan Woman. I like to title this message, The Missionary of Sychar. You know, the world will look at her and say, she is the most unlikely missionary that would ever arrive. Her past didn't look pleasant, but guess what? God loved her. Filled that spot in her heart that was empty that only God could fill. She trusted in him, and God changed her life. She shared with the world the hope that they could have in the Savior, who not only breaks the silence, but sees my sin and still loves me anyway. He introduced himself to a woman that was looking for hope. She was thirsty. She was longing for someone to love her, to understand. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Oh, that's exciting. These people saw who Jesus was. Many, many believed on him and trusted in him. They accepted him and requested and begged for him to stay. Oh, this is a wonderful portion of scripture, because so often we see people telling him to go away. We're not interested in you. And those are the responses we see in the world today. So many people say, "Hey, I'm not interested. Go away. You go talk to somebody else," or slam the door in our face. Oh, what a response. A response that we long for. But look at verse 42. I like this verse. "And he said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world," the missionary of Sychar. You know, as I look at this text, I not only see the silence broken, and we need to break the silence. We need to let the world know that there's a Savior and hope. The sin revealed, the Savior announced, and then last of all, the Samaritan's response. I hope your response will be the same. If you're here today and you are still thirsty, you're longing for that spot to be filled, only Christ can fill it. Will you trust in him? Will you call upon his name? Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you for the word of God today, for this missionary of Sychar who had a burden for the lost, whose need was filled. Her thirst was conquered. She found that peace, that hope that only God could provide. Even though her past had fallen apart, God accepted her just the way she was. She didn't have to change her life. Only God can do that. And to trust in him. Father, I pray if there's one here today that's not saved, I pray that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts in ways I can't. I cannot save a soul, but you can. Use your word today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd please stand and turn to hymn number 160. Let's open up here if you want to come pray. Lay out your heart to God. Hymn number 160. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Here we go. "Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look to the Savior, and life more abundantly free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Verse 2. "Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Oh, conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Nonetheless, his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. All right.
Okay. Yep.
Let's bow our hearts. Father God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. We have to thank you for everything. You've got us through a week, this last week, safe and sound, and you got us all back. We pray for those who are out with their not feeling well, and we pray that you bring them back as fast as possible. Thank you for the message this morning in Sunday school this morning that we can just receive it into our hearts, and that we can use that and go out and be the salt and the light of the earth for you, Jesus. Thank you for all the opportunities, and thank you for the opportunities to come to share your word about salvation and about the blood that you shed and your resurrection, and that we can be free and that we can have a relationship with you for eternity. Father God, as we go out, we just ask that you keep us safe through the week and bring us back again tonight, Father. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. You are dismissed.